All right, well, my name is Paul Guggenheim, Paul Guggenheim and Associates out of Chicago or Highland Park, Illinois. And we're going to talk about errors, okay? Or as the Cub fans call, summer. All right, so we're going to talk about finally we can catch errors thrown to us. Okay, so how many people here have worked with traditional error handling? No error? Error available. Everyone knows about them, right? All right, how about structured error handling? Things like the new keywords, catch, throw, finally. Okay. All right, then why are you here? All right, so that's what we're going to cover. Maybe I can show you some new tricks. All right, so I've been working with Progress for now 30 years. It's hard to believe. It's been a good ride. Right now, White Star Software Strategic Partner, Taylor Pro Consultant. Also work with App Pro, which is a through App Technologies. Head of the Chicago Area User Group, and also part of the Executive Committee here at the Pug Challenge. And let me go through the agenda. We have, we're gonna talk about the traditional error handling, and there's really two areas. There's the statement level and then there's the block level. Okay, so block level, I mean the statement level goes through no error and error status. And the block level goes through things like procedure generated errors, infinite loop protection, and the stop condition. Anyone here heard of infinite loop protection? A few people? Okay. Okay, so that even in the traditional world you might finally learn some new things. Structured error handling, we're going to say, we're going to talk about the error class tree, because actually structured error handling involves objects, object-oriented concepts. We'll also talk about catch, throw, hence the baseball theme, and routine level, and finally. But finally isn't finally, but there's more. Okay. Okay, we're also going to talk about best practices for using structured error handling and the different models that are available in the client-server world of Progress, top-down, event-driven, and GUI for .NET. Okay, so that's the lineup. Okay, so let's start about with traditional error handling. And there are many ABL statements that allow the no undo keyword. And these prevent a procedure-generated error. I'm sure you've all come to know and love these from time to time. Prime first customer, where custom is equal to 1,000, no error, if available, or assign a variable equal to ABC, no error. In case it's an integer value, you don't want that blowing up in the end user's face. So you might want to check that with an error status, colon error, things like that. So let me test your knowledge. What is the default error handling for a procedure generated error? It's up there, so if you can see it in the back. It's undo retry. Undo retry for a procedure for repeat block and an undo return error for database trigger block. So that's the exception. But most people, and myself included, mostly just remember the undo retry. So if I show you a simple example here, here we have prompt for student, find the student. If I put in a correct value, it'll go to the next line. If I put in one that's incorrect, the find statement that doesn't have a no error on it is going to give us an error of student record not on file. And it will do an undo and retry of the block and return to the prompt for statement. Okay, so everyone feels pretty comfortable with that. Nothing new so far. Just sort of wading into the water right now. Okay. But a lot of you haven't really heard of infinite loop protection. But this is something that's been in the language for years. And what it involves is if there is no opportunity for user interaction, Progress will change the undo retry to an undo and leave. Okay, so let's try that. So here we have find student minus one. This is a shortcut because I'm a lazy programmer. That's actually a shortcut for where student ID equals negative one. So you can do that with things, with keys. And if I do that, you'll see that it's not an infinite loop. As soon as I press enter, the program returns back. Okay, question.
Is that some kind of startup parameter, or what circumstances does that happen? Because I've had infinite loops that were infinite.
Okay, yes. Infinite loop protection, it's an insurance policy, but it doesn't cover you under all circumstances. So if you're really a clever programmer, you can definitely cause infinite loops to happen. So it doesn't prevent it in all cases. But this is a very specific case where it's only when there's no user interaction. So if you put in something that, if you said if today equals 1/1/14, update this variable, because you have an update, even though that condition is false, the compiler doesn't know that it's false, and it's going to say, you have a chance to change it and correct it, so I'm going to just do an undo retry forever, and in that case, it will continue. Yeah. So. And it is an undo leave, so if I say here, display program ended, like that. Okay, we will see program ended, so it did do an undo leave. Okay, so there we go. All right, so that's infinite loop protection. Then let me go back here, and let's talk about stop condition. The stop condition occurs when user presses Control C in Unix or Control Break in Windows. You have a stop statement in your procedure, or you have a run program that's not found. That'll cause a stop condition. Or if you lose a database connection. Okay, so let's run that. So here we have find first student, display it, update some things, stop. Okay, and then end. And in this case, will we see display program ended? Anybody know if we do a stop?
No.
Let's take a look here. So if I put in here, Darren Stevens, and then press go. Notice it says procedure complete, press spacebar to continue. You guys probably can't see that in the back, but it ended and we don't see it. So unless you trap it in your program, you won't see that. Yes?
What's the difference between stop and return?
Well, stop actually does a bunch of things. One of the things it does is it undoes your transaction. So you'll see now when I bring it up, Darren Stevens is no longer there. So it undid that transaction. And then there's also some things as far as, in this case, it doesn't do a return specifically, although in this case, it looks like it returned out of the procedure. It actually goes back to the initial session. So it'll branch the first program called when the session was started up. And because the session started up with the editor, it's going to return to the editor. So now an actual return statement, just simply returns out of a procedure to the calling procedure.
Okay, so it's not, it'd be part of a procedure, not in the main part of the program.
Yeah, stop is going to go, you could be several levels back. You could have program A calling program B calling program C, and stop will get you all the way back to the beginning where you started, where return just returns you back to the previous procedure. Okay, so that's more of a branching question.
Okay, so yeah. Stop takes you completely out of the session.
Well, not completely out of the session. It'll take you to the beginning program in the session. So if you started in the editor, you're going to return to the editor. If you started in mainmenu.p, when you started up your program, it's going to return you back to mainmenu.p. So it's different from a quit. Okay. Now, we can also override the stop condition. So we could say here, repeat on stop undo leave. So one of the things that we have now in the language is the ability to do that. So if we said on stop undo leave, and we went here and did Darren again, like that, you see program ended, but you see that Darren was undone. Okay, so we can control the branching on that. Okay, so this was meant to be a little bit of a review, but now let's just summarize some of the disadvantages of what we don't like with traditional error handling. Since the no error is not the default, the developer must remember to specify that keyword on each statement where an error may occur. Okay, so I'm guilty of forgetting to put a no error on things from time to time. I'm sure you guys might be too. So that's something that leads to problems. Handling errors with a no error is performed inconsistently. Okay, sometimes you may want to use an error status, which is a system handle, but available and ambiguous functions for other types of errors that you may have. Return statement may be used, but you have to manually return the error to the call procedure. A block label may be used to manually branch to the next outer block. And it's also difficult to include additional information when we're passing the error outside of the error block. Okay, so what about structured error handling advantages? Catch blocks handle all error types except for stop and quit programming. Quit processing. So I'm going to show you some examples of that. And because structured errors are class objects, developers have the ability to create user-defined error types in their application to suit their application. And also, structured error handling has the ability to propagate errors up the call stack, as we'll show you in some examples. Okay. All right, so here is the class hierarchy. And this text is probably hard for you to see way in the back. You start out here in the very top with progress.lang.object. Here is progress.lang.error, which is an interface. Here's pro-error, or error at this point. And then it branches into two areas. And we're going to show you some examples of these next two levels. progress.lang.app.error and progress.lang.sys.error. So sys.error is going to be the system-generated errors, like customer record not on file, no item record is available, those types of things. And we'll see what app errors are. And app errors are more user-defined, so that below here you can define your user error objects that can be inherited from these application errors. And then finally down here, the so-called error, we're not going to cover that. That's based on something else. Mike?
App errors, are they typically utilized through database record to instantiate what the errors are?
Well, no, it's more user-specific. Like I'm going to show you an example, but when you say return error to a program, you're the programmer doing that, that's an application error because you're the developer that did that, versus like a procedure generated error because a customer's not found. So the question was, what, the database or?
Maybe I'm making an incorrect assumption here, but my assumption is that a user error is something that we define through some kind of matrix of an identifier and some text that goes along with that.
Oh, for an application?
Yeah.
Yeah, you might be able to define what the error is, but I think it involves maybe the return error keyword. So I'll show you some examples of that. All right, so let's learn about the catch block. Catch block is used to trap procedure-generated errors when the no error keyword is not used. Okay? So if you're tired of always remembering to put that no error keyword, you could just use a catch block in your programs. Now, what is a catch block? A catch block is an end type block. So that's a new word. It's an end type block that must appear at the end of an associated block. So I'm going to define these terms. One rule that you have to remember is no standalone statements must appear after a catch block. So you have the catch block, you can't have a statement like display today sitting outside of a block in the containing procedure below where that catch block is located in your program. And finally, what is an associated block? That's a block that encloses an end block. So all undoable blocks may be associated blocks, even other catch blocks. So here's a picture where we have, say this orange is the containing procedure, and we have find student minus one. And here's our catch block. We say catch E as progress lang error, and then message inside catch block. Okay. So that might be a good example to show you. So that's what I'm going to show you next. Let's take a look at that. Here we see find student minus one. That's going to give us an error. And now we're going to say catch E as progress lang error, and watch what happens. Okay, so it'll say inside catch block. You don't see student record not on file, and it just ends like that. Okay.
What would happen if you put a no error on that?
Oh, good question. The question is, what if we put a no error on it?
Yeah.
That's going to catch it before the catch. So there's the catch will not catch it. Okay, and so that's what I was referring to here, is that it's when the no error keyword is not used, when you use the catch block.
Right.
Okay.
So let me. You can still do your like no error, and then if available, but if you don't have that, then it goes to the catch.
Right. Catch is just giving you another ability to do that. So I'm going to show you different ways that you can use this. For example, let's take a look at this one. Here we have do on error undo leave, find first student where student equals 9999, and that's not in the database, and then we have a catch error, but now we're going to call it a system error, which is a little bit more specific. And notice we don't have a no error on it, and then we have program ended up here. So let's take a look here and see what happens. Okay. So I'm going to run it. This is actually, this is the one. Actually, let me, before I show you the next one, this is another one I wanted to show you first. Yeah, I forgot about this one. Here's an example where not only does it catch it, but the error still occurs and it still undoes a transaction. So for example, we have defined variable A as character, but it's an undoable variable. So if it's ABC and we set it to XYZ here, if we say find student minus one exclusive block, watch what happens. What's going to be the value of A in here? Will it be ABC or XYZ?
It's ABC.
ABC, let's take a look. And as you can see, it's ABC. So it will undo it as well as catching at that point. All right. One other,
because you don't have a no undo.
Correct. Now, let me show you another example where we're going to get more specific. We're going to say, we're going to catch it, but we're not going to catch all errors. We're only going to catch errors that are system errors. Okay? But system errors are actually procedure generated errors. So we should, this thing should still catch it. So let's try it and see what happens. And so it says we're inside catch sys error block, and then we see program ended like that. Okay. So that's what we would expect, right? Does that make sense? Okay, now there is one little confusing thing. Did we see display program ended because we just exited out of this end, or was it because of the on error undo leave? Anybody have an idea what happened there? If I made this on error undo return like that,
you wouldn't see it.
I don't know, would we? Let's take a look. How many people think we'd see program ended in this case? How many people think we wouldn't see it? I'm from Chicago, I can vote early and often. So, all right, let's see, let's take a look
early
here.
Early and often.
All right. So that's your final answer?
Yeah, that's your final answer.
Okay, let's see. All right, here we go. Okay, so there it is inside. It says air block and program ended.
Ooh.
So what happens is that the catch catches it.
Oh, and throws it away.
And so we no longer have the do block trapping that error. So the catch catches it, it then goes to here, and then it falls out of the block. Okay? And in a couple of slides, I'll show you the order of precedence, because it is getting, it gets a little confusing on what happens at what time. Okay? All right. All right, so now let's talk about another example where we say progress lang app error here. So this is an application error. We're going to trap all application errors. Watch what happens when I do this. Find first, last, fail. So that catches catching a different type of error. That's an application error that the user created. And so that one doesn't count. And so it's going to do an undo leave. And had we put an undo return there, it would have, we would not see display program in that case. All right. Okay. So what is the app error good for? Take a look at this next example, where we say run ABC, and then down here procedure ABC return error return from ABC. So when we do that, we'll actually see that in that example here. So now we're going to be inside the catch block, error return from ABC, like that. Okay, and then again, I'll ask you, what if we did an undo return here? What do you think is going to happen? Will we see program ended if we catch that error in the catch? And we will, because this error is not, this doesn't have anything to do with it anymore. This catch controls it. Once it's done with it, it executes the end and then executes the display. It just falls out of the block, just like that last example. Okay. All right. So now we're going to talk about throwing errors. A throw keyword transfers the error to the enclosing next outer block, where it can be trapped with a catch block. So here's an example where we say do on error undo throw. Find first student, where student equals 5,000. So it's going to cause an error to occur, and then it's going to throw it to the outer block, where hopefully that outer block is going to catch it. Purple. Okay? Oh, I couldn't catch it. Okay, so if I do that, you see that this error is not caught. It's a silly prop, isn't it? Okay. So there's an example where we should have a catch block there if we're going to undo and throw it to that next outer block, right? So here's an example where we're going to say do on error, undo throw again. And now we're going to put a catch outside of that do block in the containing procedure. So if I run this one, watch what happens. Perfect. You catch it. See? So it's caught in the containing procedure.
Really messed you up there, buddy.
Yeah, I know. If you threw it there, and then they wouldn't believe that the program did what it said.
You were the Gary Mule deer of technology.
That's right. I owe you big time.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the throw. And there's actually some more examples I want to show you with throw. Here's another one. We have on error undo throw. Find first student without a no error on it. And now we have a catch with a system error here. And we also have a catch here. Okay, how many people think that this error is going to be caught with this catch block here? Anybody? How many people here will think it'll be caught with this one here? Anyone have an idea? How much would you like to wager? Can't hear the Jeopardy music in the back there. Okay. All right, so let's run it. Okay, so it's actually a caught in the due transaction block. So why is it? Anyone have an idea why that is? Okay. This on error, this catches it first because, and it never gets to this on error undue throw. So because you have a catch in that associated block here, it's going to catch it first. In fact, let's develop some rules because it's starting to get a little complex. So here are the rules. I don't know if you can see this from the back. On the order of precedence when trapping procedure generated errors. First thing is the no error option on the statement. That's going to catch it first. If you don't have that, then it's the sys error catch block in the associated block where the error occurred, okay, which is what we just saw. If you don't have a catch block there, then it's explicit on the on error phrase. So if we say on error undue throw, it's going to throw it somewhere else. And finally, after that, it's implicit on error phrase. Implicit means whatever the default is, and we know the default is undo and retry in most cases. Okay, that makes sense? Okay. All right, so let me show you a new thing where we're going to say run find first, run find last. Find first consists of find first student where it's equal to 5,000. Find last is where it's equal to 5,000. Both of these tables, student and teacher, do not have a record there. And then we have a catch block in the containing procedure. But that catch block is not going to be able to catch these errors, as we'll see. So we'll see find first last failed for table student, find first last failed for table teacher. And that's because of the error handling for internal procedures. If there's no user interaction for an internal procedure, it's undo and leave. So it's the same, that's the infinite loop protection again. Because you're in a procedure, the default is undo retry, but there's no user interaction in that internal procedure, so it changes to undo leave, it goes back. Okay. So that can happen in a lot of places. You know, how many people here use internal procedures? How many people use internal procedures that have no user interaction in them? Probably a lot. Okay, so that could be a problem. But I wouldn't say that if I didn't have a solution, right? You know me too well. Okay, so we're gonna actually change what's called the routine level behavior. So by default, all routine level blocks, except for database trigger blocks with no user action, process procedure generator errors with undo and leave based on the infinite loop protection. And here are some blocks that are routine level blocks. You have the containing procedure, user-defined functions, class methods, destructors, internal procedures, all these things, user interface, triggers, class constructors, and so on. So in both areas. What we're going to do is we're going to place the following statement at the top of the program to change error processing behavior for all routine level blocks in a .p or .class program file. So we're going to say routine level on error undo throw. Okay, so that's something that you'll probably see if you're in the Progress Developer Studio. And when you pull up a procedure, it'll say if you want to put that at the top. And it's probably a good default to put up there. Okay, so this statement changes the behavior for all routine level blocks except user interface triggers. Okay, which will come back to haunt us later in this session. But nevertheless, this behavior is useful. So let me show you. So now we have the exact same program that we had before, but we're just going to add that one statement. So that's the only difference between that and the previous statement is we put the routine level at the top. And when we do that, watch what happens. Catch find first failed for table student. So it catches the table student right there, and we're done. Okay? So because it caught it. So it caught it successfully, and then we're out. Notice one of the things in the message, we actually put the message esyserror:getMessage1. So in this system error, there's a method called getMessage that you can actually use to retrieve the message that the user would have seen. And you don't have to scare the end user with that message if you want. You can put it in a log file or whatever. Okay. All right. Okay, so moving right along, we have that. Then now we have finally, right? So finally we get to finally. All right, so like the catch block, finally is a block is an end block. It must appear as the last end block in the associated block. So it's at the very bottom, okay? And the finally block executes after unsuccessful or successful execution of a non-iterating associated block. So if you want something that's guaranteed to always fire, well, not always, I shouldn't say always, but this finally block will trap a lot more stuff. Each loop of an iterating associated block, it will always fire. The catch block traps an error that occurred in the associated block, the finally block will still execute. Procedure generated error, not trapped by a catch block, finally block will associate full catch. And the only thing that finally doesn't trap for is a stop or a quit condition. Okay. Or quit. Okay, so let's take a look at an example here. Here's a real simple example. Find student where student equals one, display it, finally. So that's one, we see the end of program. Because there's always things where you branch out of a program early, in a lot of top-down programs, and you always forget to set something, or I always think, oh, I'm always gonna exit that outer block and hit that thing so I can set that variable to go back to the returning block. But you always forget, oh, I'm gonna, then you stick a return, you know, 100 lines up, and so, turn then says, oh, darn it, you know, I don't have that variable set. Well, even if you did a return, then the finally is gonna execute. Let's take a look. Okay, so even though I said return, finally it still hits it, okay? So that could be an effective tool so that you guys could be very sloppy programmers and still, you know, save your rear end occasionally. Okay. All right, and then I could even put a minus one here, like that. And you'll see end of program. Okay, so finally is very helpful, very useful.
Except that if you put a quit instead of return.
Yeah, then it would actually leave the session if you're not in the editor, or if you didn't trap for the quit. There's ways to trap for quit and stop, but if they're untrapped, the finally is not going to work. But quit means you're leaving the session, so you don't really care if you forget to set a variable because you're leaving the session. You're done anyway. Time to go home. It's, you know, have a Miller or something. Okay. So all right. So now, before we have Miller, well, it's a little early to have that. I don't know who brought that up. All right, let's talk about best practices. All right, so this little section will attempt to illustrate the best practices for structured error handling. Okay, and these are things that I found. They're my opinion. I don't think there's probably a lot of different. There's some debate on this and. There's probably lots of other things that I probably overlooked, but here are some things that that I found that I think are good ideas. We're going to talk about three environments: top-down programming, event-driven, and the traditional GUI and event-driven GUI for .NET. They're both very similar. And my goal when I try to use these new features is to use them as efficiently as possible, and to centralize the error processing for optimal maintainability. So if I can keep all my error processing in a few select places, that way it's easier to maintain, right? Because we're all lazy programmers, and that's what we want to do. All right, so I have a simple, kind of simple program here called the top-down menu. Let me throw it up here on the screen. And what it's doing is we have a department maintenance with a procedure error, a repeat error, no error, and an exit. And we're going to trap for it. This is the default way. So what I'm going to show you, TD menu, is this is how it is, the way it is without structured error handling, and then I'm going to show you it with structured error handling. So here's the menu. Here's department maintenance. So if they pick the first thing, I'm going to find department minus one. There isn't one. This is in the containing procedure. It's going to, at this point, there's no user interaction. It's just going to undo and leave. Down here, I'm going to do find course minus one. That's in a repeat block, so it's going to undo and leave and go out. Then if I go to teacher, here's a for each teacher block. I have it also here, I have a find teacher in the containing procedure. And then down here, I have an offering, which is in a for each, so it's a looping block. So we have some nesting going on. So this is really a traditional top-down, you know, legacy app that may appear in either Character or Windows, whatever. So you've come to know and love this. You've been working in the language for a long time. You've seen this. So let me run it. So here, if I, let me just start that again. So if I go here, Department Maintenance Procedure Error, if I just press 1, it'll say Department Record Not on File. And it just goes back here to the menu. If I do number 2, it now goes into Department ID, and I go here, and then as soon as I press Enter, we'll see Course Record Not on File, and it's going to do an undo retry of this block here, which is that inner repeat. And then finally, if I go here to 3, Department Maintenance No Error, that means I'm going to go into department, and now I'm going to go into the teacher, the inner block. So now it's hard, a little bit hard to follow, but now update teachers of department with a procedure error. So if I put 1, that's that find teacher minus 1, and you'll see the teacher record not on file. And if we do that again and do procedure 2, you see that it'll now say course X reference record not on file, and so it that's the offering record, and we can't get any further. So it's going to undo and retry the for each. Okay, and so those are all the options. And then 3, finally, nowhere, and this doesn't do anything. Okay, so that's that. Now what if we were to do a different one where we actually said, let's do some structured error handling. So here's what we just saw, the top-down TD menu, department maintenance calls teacher maintenance. And now I'm going to put in some changes. I'm going to add a catch block to the associated repeat blocks in TD menu SEH, department main SEH, and teacher SEH. Okay. And I'm also going to add routine level on error undo throw to the above program. Now again, remember the throw allows us to catch it in the procedure that preceded it. So let's take a look here. So now in this menu, at the bottom of the menu here, inside the repeat, I have a catch that says for any system errors, and if the last event function is not equal to end error, which can also trap that. We don't want it to trap it in that case. We can display the get message and say inside the TD menu catch block. And then if we go to department mate structured error handling, notice in this, we also have a catch, okay, which will catch this error inside the repeat here. But notice what it does. It says undo throw E. So notice we're actually throwing this object out to the next level, which will then, so it's throwing it out, this repeat is throwing it out outside of the repeat to the containing procedure. But what do we have out here? We have routine level on error undo throw, and it's going to actually throw it back to the department. So it's going to propagate it up the chain. This is all built in. This a little bit hard to follow, but that's what it's going to be doing. And then finally, the teacher one here, we're going to catch the same way. We're going to undo and throw it. And because it has a routine level, it's going to throw it back to department. So we now have an invocation chain. So if I run this now with SEH, notice the department maintenance procedure, that's find department minus one. It's now saying inside TD menu catch block. So it successfully threw it back to the menu, and we're seeing department record not on file because of what the menu catch block said. Okay, so we're controlling it that way. Then department maintenance, repeat error, that's two. So now if I'm inside the repeat and I press go, now we're saying find course minus one. And it says course record not on file. But here it says inside catch of repeat sys block. And then we're going to throw that back, and that gets propagated all the way back up to the TD menu. Okay, does everybody see that? Is that hard to follow? Probably hard to follow at 8:30 in the morning. And then if we do department maintenance nowhere, that means we're going to go down into the teacher record for that department. So the first thing we'll do is one, procedure error. So we're going to say find teacher minus one. And so it's going to throw it out of that block. And so now we're in the inside catch for the sys block of depart maintenance, because that's where we call the teacher maintenance inside it, because we're just updating the teachers for the physics department, for example. And then if I press OK again, it throws it back even further, to all the way back up to the top. So you don't have to put messages at each level, but this is just designed to show you that you can propagate it all back to one central location. That's the main point I'm trying to show here. Okay, so, and then I guess show you one more. If I go to for each error, here's the for each. It goes, it's gonna go all the way back up like that. Okay, so if you thought that was hard to follow,
what was that last event function doing?
Oh, the last event. Yeah, that's a good point. Here I said if last event function not equal to end error. If I press, right now I'm on the update selection. If I press escape, which is the end error key, like F4 in Unix, it's going to do an undo and leave. But if I don't trap for that, if I comment that line out, even if I'm just simply getting out of the program. Oh, it didn't work.
Because you didn't uncomment your message line.
What's that?
Message line's gone. Never mind.
I thought I needed that for the escape.
Control C or something?
Well, the catch won't catch it in the stop. For some reason I thought I needed that. Oh well, let me continue, but that threw me. Alright, so, bad, I tell you. Alright, so.
It's a rough crowd.
Tough crowd.
So anyway, so here's event-driven model. Alright, so we're gonna do an event-driven model now. The student record, we're now gonna have some persistent procedures, and here's what it's going to look like. Studbr.p is going to be a non-persistent procedure, so I'm going to start that in the editor, and then I'm going to run brbar persistently, which is going to call act.p and charge.p persistently, and we're going to use a wait for. Now, one of the disappointing things about structured error handling is it doesn't help you that much, as much. I shouldn't say it helps you a little bit, but not as much as it does in top-down structured programming. What more work needs to be performed to trap errors in an event-driven environment is what I've concluded. And that's because user interface triggers do not throw procedure-generated errors, okay, by default. You have to put stuff in there. So when you say routine level on-error undo throw at the top of your event-driven program, has no effect on user interface triggers. So if you have a, you know, on choose a button A, and you have a procedure generated error, it's not going to do anything. It's not going to throw it back to the next procedure. You won't be able to catch it unless you do something in there. So let's run it without those changes and just show you what it looks like. Here we have, I think the way that, yeah, these don't have any errors. This is how it works without any errors. That's how all my programs work. They don't have any errors. All right, so control V like that, and when we change something in the program, it actually shows you different things. Here you can hide things, you can move things around. These are all persistent frames that you can mess with and go like that. So the way it works is I call BR bar persistently, set the bar handle, and then from there I can I call these procedures persistent and set their handles, and then depending on what I do, I run things in their programs like hiding or viewing those individual frames. So here it says assign frame activity visible to the opposite. So that's what happened when I was toggling back and forth here. When I said charge, it says run that and change its visible property to the opposite. If I run it again, it'll change it back. If I do it 15 times, it'll say make up your mind. But I didn't put that logic in, but could have. All right, so that's what it does. It's pretty simple. But now, let's say we want to put in some structured error handling. And here I'm going to put a catch out here in the procedure, but I'm also going to put a procedure report error that's also in this block. And so this catch is probably not going to catch many things, as we'll see. Also, here's the BR bar that we had before. And notice I'm sticking in something that's going to cause a procedure generated error. So I'm going to say find teacher minus one. Okay, so that will be caught, because that teacher minus one is in the containing procedure. That's not in a user interface trigger, right? So in that case, it will go from here and it'll catch it and it'll say run report error in SP handle input E, and we'll see it back here. So in fact, let's just run that and see what happens. So here it says inside catch charge SCH. Oh, that's actually something else I didn't show you yet. And then inside report error BR bar SCH. And then inside report error student charge record not on file. There's actually some more stuff here. It's actually hard to follow, but let me see if I can show it to you. There's another error here in charge. So here's the charge one. And I say find student charge minus one. And so that's also going to cause an error, and it's going to catch it here, and then we're going to do run statements to actually pass it back. And that's because of the way that user interface or top-down blocks are. In fact, let's just go through these. Like the top-down model, we're using this. Catch blocks are added. The report error internal procedure block is added to receive error objects called from other persistent procedures. So catch blocks are added to the UI trigger blocks. These blocks call the report error internal procedure and pass the error back. So I tried using throw from UI trigger blocks and it wouldn't work. So instead of using throw, I called the run report error internal procedure in order to pass it back. So that was the way I was able to get around it. So as you can see, there's a lot more work involved when you do it. So that's where this comes in. I know it's kind of hard to follow in that, but oops, I'm actually running it from the wrong place. That's BR bar. If I start from here, it goes all the way back. Okay. And then let me show you one that's even harder to follow, called the GUI for .NET event-driven model. And this one, we have a dynamic menu, which is actually calling some infragistics classes. And it's really the same problem that we had with the top-down problem. So here, structured error handling in GUI for .NET is very similar. It instantiates the activity grid classes, which both contain procedure-generated errors. We put a routine level on error undo throw statements, and the class methods, like constructors, will throw their errors to the next enclosing block. However, neither of these structured error handling features will help, since the wait for will not receive a thrown object. So that's the point I want to make. So both in traditional GUI with wait fors and GUI for .NET, where you also use a wait for, it won't catch a thrown object. So what I had to resort to do is you have to put catches in certain places, and then you have to call internal procedures in the previous program with that handle to get the object, to get the error back. And so that's what I ended up doing in this case here. So, let's see, run this. Oh wait, this one won't run. Oops. You have to compile it. Just do that. Yeah, so if I just, here's the way without, this is without the errors. This is what it looks like. I don't know if you can see that. It takes a while for it to set up. So I can run different things. Here's offering. This is mixing and matching both traditional GUI and also GUI for .NET. You can actually call that in the same program. So here's GUI for .NET using infragistics. So you can do that. And here are the teachers, example. So this is Justin Bieber. He's a good teacher. No, that's the wrong. Oops, I did the wrong one. I forgot the code. Or what's? Oh well. Or then here's Charlie Sheen.
I'm winning.
Okay.
No win here, no win there. Now one.
Okay.
Win
so.
There. Now one.
Okay. All right. He's into winning. Okay. So here's what it works like, and then if I do the structured error handling and run those same programs, I think it's the academic one where we have the error. Here, where it is. Let's see. Or is it course? Actually, maybe it's course. Yeah, I think it's this one. Oh, this course net SH. So here it says, inside catch associated with constructor, structured in it, teacher record not on file. And then I have to use the source procedure, file name, and then I'm going to call it back. I'm going to send it all the way back to report error where it says teacher record not on file. So it's actually goes way back to beginning. So I'd have to show you the code here. Let's see if I can show you that. Course net SEH. Let's skip all this stuff. Where is it? I think it's back up here. Here we have inside the constructor. We have a find teacher minus one, and then down here we have a catch. And this catch says, oh, we're inside that block. I'm going to run report error in source procedure. So that source procedure is the procedure that it came from, which is the TD menu one. So inside a TD menu, dynamic menu for SH. That one has at the bottom, I think. Yeah, we have the catch here. We have this report error. So that's where it ends up going. Okay. So that's hard to follow, but if you want, I can send you the examples of this, or you can download them. But. All right, so let me just summarize. Structured error handling traps procedure-generated errors in a more consistent manner than traditional error handling. Structured error handling may be used for all programming models, but as we saw, it's probably better. It's a little bit easier to use in traditional top-down programming. And it makes it easier for you to propagate errors up the implication chain and to centralize error processing. And remember, it's not a magic bullet. Care and planning must be taken when using it. And also remember that structured error handling will not work for, will not trap, stop, and quit conditions. Okay. And I know it was kind of confusing, so I developed a little song here to help you remember it. The errors in the program place catch blocks in the code. Sets routine level blocks to undo and throw. Users are happy when they now press go for its root. Root all the bugs out. If they're not found, it's a shame. For its throw, catch, finally done for structured and moving everybody. It's out of your jurisdiction. All right. So anyway, any questions? Yes. Structured error handling came out in 10. I think 10.0 for the most part, or 10.1. Question.
Is there a lot different with Chewy instead of GUI?
Well, with Chewy and GUI, you can make those either top-down or event-driven. You can put wait fors in one or the other, or you can make them top-down. So, yeah, the environment, really, that's really independent of it.
Some of your examples are already kind of Chewy, right?
Yeah, some of them are. Yeah. Frank?
Can you catch more than one type of error?
Yes. Well, yes, you can, but it only one error at a time, I guess, is the thing. But you could have one block, which... Remember, we use sysError and apperror. You could just say pro error or just error, and that'll catch both kinds of blocks in one place if you wanted to do that. Okay. Any other questions? Anyone want to copy that song? All right, thank you very much.